Hello, everyone. Welcome to Weekend Showcase. And right now with us is Mario T1. And we are going to be interviewing. I am Raina. Let's get started. How are you? How are you feeling right now, Mario?
I'm wonderfully marvelous and exceedingly well.
I love to hear it. I absolutely love to hear it. So would you like to give our viewers a brief description of who you are?
Okay. My name is Mario Thompson. Everybody knows me as T1. My friend Vin Dog from 99.1 named me T1 back a long time ago. And that's short for Thompson Number One Executive. And basically it's because I had to learn all the, wear a lot of hats, you know, to get stuff done. So that's where the nickname came from. But I started off as a recording engineer. I learned how to, especially when hard disk recording came, when everybody went from two-inch reel recording to the hard disk recording, you know, I started off mixing and mastering. And I basically started getting good enough where some name, an established artist basically had me, you know, recorded with me. And, you know, so I have a list of credits, you know, from like, let's say Busy Bone from... Seven Sign, you know, Lazy Bone, some of the from Bone Thugs and Harmony. I recorded some stuff, Sugar Free, different various people and up and coming artists too. So I made my bones as an engineer. In 05, I got, you know, things were changing. We had like tapes for video and stuff. And all of a sudden the industry changed and digital was here. So, you know, I got an investor. I got an investor and I got this this $6,000 Canon XL2. Some of you guys that know about cameras, that XL2 was broadcast ready camera, but it took a tape. So right then the digital age came in and the SD card. So after that, I still recorded and engineered, you know, I mixed a lot of stuff this out or whatever. But at that time, I became a director. I started putting projects together and editing. And so, you know, that grew. I've been doing it strong since now. I still get in the studio, but primarily I'm a director and producer. And so we were able to do a straight to video movie called Hustle Hard. I wrote and directed it. It's 1 hour and 20 minutes. And I got about 3 short films under my belt also. But when it comes to video, I have a large body of work when it comes to video. And that's pretty much my background right there.
Love to hear it. Absolutely love to hear it. And so another question of mine that I have for you, out of all of the many hats that you wear when it comes to your creativity, and by the way, engineering and mixing my hat's off to you because it is so hard to mix and you have to have an ear for mixing and a amount of patience that
that's
is
true.
Godly. I can't mixing.
Yeah, it's tedious work. Most
definitely. Mixing in itself is a whole nother task. It's one thing to make the music, but to get the sound to be exactly where not only the artist wants it, but where the listeners can not only hear but feel the music differently. Like I said, hats off to you with the mixing of music. So out of all of the many hats that you wear, what are, I'd say, 2 of your favorites out of all the things that you've done? What are your 2 favorites that you have a hand in when it comes to whether it be music, filming, directing? What 2 does your heart beat for?
My heart beats for the directing and filmmaking, where the whole process, because the reason it is because I'm a special breed, and not to toot my own horn, but one of the good things that one of the assets that I have is that not only am I just I'm not just a director, I actually cut the film, I edit, I have a crew now. I've grown to where I have a crew now that we do the post production, but I've done every job, whether it be the sound man, the lighting. So therefore, when I do hire someone, I know the quality and I also know the work that it needs to be put in to accomplish the professional and make it industry standard. So I think the directing would be my first. And then second, of course, would be my recording engineer, you know, the mixing and master. And that's with me for life. But yeah, those are the two I would say.
Right. I know that you absolutely have to get into a zone to do those things too. And I'm sure you enjoy just zoning out, doing your editing, your filming, your mixing and mastering, and that takes getting into a zone. That's a beautiful though. It's a beautiful zone. So educationally, do you do any teaching when it comes to as far as like videography, film, music? Because I have heard you have things a hand in like the educational side of things, correct?
Well, yeah. Well, in the aspect of Ice Cube said it best, University of South Central. I'm self-taught, but you know, with the engineering, I gotta thank my father, because my father was like, you know, he's a Vietnam vet. He came, you know, he used to have the whole system where, you know, Technique 1200s, the earphones, and I used to zone out and listen to his albums. And my dad, you know, if you dealt with the album, you had to spray it, wipe it down, and keep it looking pristine, no fingerprints.
Right.
So I had a lot of respect for music, and I used to listen to the dynamics of the music, you know, with the earphones, and they were like pioneers, like some old school, but they were like high end. So that's how I started getting my ear, because I was listening to the sounds and the instruments, how they panned. And so I love analog sound, which is what you get from an album. And so when that came through, that pretty much got me started, you know, how I got the ear to, like, that's how I even got into this direction of music, because of that. So it was a love for music that got me started, basically.
What can you tell us about the upcoming music video that you have with Motown OG Alkaline and the legendary RBX?
Well, that shoot was awesome, because he had RBX, the narrator RBX. You might remember him from like the Chronic album and his Doggy Style. He's one of the original Dog Pound members, but he was a lyrical like beast. Like, you know, before there was Eminem with freestyle and the catchy lines and everything, RBX was like one of the top trendsetters during that whole episode of Dog Pound and, you know, Death Row days. And so it was just amazing that he had RBX featured on that song, Respect the West. And the thing that got me
So that's a great song, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank him. He did a great job. You know, I heard the story about that he had a lot of feeling, a lot of the things that he was trying to convey in that song. He really had them in, it was like deep, something really he really wanted to get out. And so he had a moment where, you know, he really just shut the studio down, and then, you know, he took like a break, and he just went in there and he laid the thing down straight through, just on raw adrenaline. I guess that's where the Alkaline name comes from, because he was Alkaline. And so during that time, and then not only that, he put the legendary RBX on there. So that the song blew me. When I heard the song, it originally hit me because it was like Respect the West. You know, we got different genres in your rap and your hip hop, you know. And so, you know, and I think we pass the torch every season or so. So, you know, the South might be doing it now, then the East Coast might kick it back, and then, you know, Midwest. So basically,
I love East Coast hip hop, by the way. Huge East Coast hip hop fan, especially East Coast 90s. Good times.
I can't listen to nothing but you know, all my East Coast heads, you know, Nas, my Wu-Tang, my Tribe Called Quest. Absolutely. You know, I could go on and on. But what I will say is this. He, when I heard this song, Respect the West, it had an anthem feel to it. And right. So, and it was like a little bit unusual beat because it wasn't typical radio, you know, format. It had like something special to it where you know, kind of started getting you amped up, like, you know, like you're about to go off in March, you know, to war or right. something, you know, it had that feel. So that the song grabbed me at that point. And so I figured when I heard the song, it what translated to me was, okay, Motown, he came with the lyrics, he expressed himself. I wouldn't do a word verbatim type of video where, oh, everything he's saying, I want to show. What my vision was and what I pitched to him was that we should do elements of the West Coast and not typical stuff, because there's hidden gems in the West Coast when it comes to filming and shooting and location and stuff. And if you're not from here, you really don't know about all the hidden stuff. So what we did was we showed the West Coast. We went to the desert. We were out in Phelan in the high desert, and we had motorcycles. We had dirt bikes. And we had quads.
I love that. That gives me a California Love type of image in my head too. If you remember the beginning of that video.
We were kind of thinking that. I was thinking that way because I know Pac did the post-apocalyptic feel with California Love. So we wanted it. So we were like, okay, let's do it. Let's do it too. You know, let's do it our style, our way. How will we do it?
Absolutely.
And so the thing about it is, it don't get no more West Coast than the desert. You know, that's something that's not everywhere. So we had dirt bikes out there, riding hard quads, and we even had a Razor, you know, those four-wheeler little dune buggies. So we had that out there. And one bad thing happened, which was the star rider had an accident because one of the guys up front of him, I guess, was kicking up a lot of dirt with his motorcycle. And so the guy behind them, the cloud of dust blocked his vision. So he hit a boulder or something. He flipped. So we believe he basically broke his collarbone and his wrist. So he went to the hospital right away. And to show you what type of person it is to go out here and ride dirt bikes, you know, the guy walked away. His girlfriend drove him to the hospital. He's more worried about his bike than anything because he just built the bike. It's $3,000 worth of damage on my bike, you know.
But really it is, because, like, honestly, when you – people that are that dedicated, when you – break something with your body or you do something with your body, it's like, okay, this fix this, but everything else is about to this bike and all the things that go into it cost so much, and they really dedicate their time and their lives to those things. So I have another question for you. Your creative process, when you are thinking about your music videos and or when you're working with somebody else, the videos that you direct, what is your creative process when it comes to thinking of those things? Or visualizing,
like,
more so?
To answer that question, it's real simple. I respect the music. I tell all my clients, I'm like, I really won't take a project if I don't like the song and I'm not feeling it. I'm not gonna take it, because really it's like a spiritual connection. My word, my energy, my time is valuable, and that energy, you know, you just don't give it away or freely, you know. It's got to be something you have a passion for. So if I don't see a vision for the song, I'm not even going to jump on it as far as directing it or whatever. Then on top of that, I've got to sell, because at the end of the day, the artist has to be happy with the end product. So I, it's, you know, right. I basically, I respect the music, and I really take it in and tune everything out and really, like, you know, kind of, you know, I'm not gonna say I close my eyes, sometimes I might, but realistically I listen to it and, like, really when, like, everybody's asleep and I'm just by myself quiet, where I can really give it the full attention and pay.
So now, right.
You respect the music. Yeah, respect the music.
I like that you mentioned that you don't just do anything. That's how you know that you're really passionate about it. It's not just about, you know, money or clout or whatever the case. You really take the time to indulge and take in what you're putting your time and your energy into. And that's super important because it makes the creative process enjoyable for not only yourself, but really working with whoever you work with, because you want to work with people that can see the vision with you and that have a good vision with you. You don't want to work with somebody that gives a lot of, like, tug and pull. But when you have a good creative flow together and you're working on something that you feel connected to and that you want to be a part of, it just makes the whole process so much more enjoyable. So is there anything that you have? So sorry, my cat.
Sorry, no,
I don't know if you saw that.
No, this is real life. Don't, it's all good. Don't worry about the cat.
I'm like, know? Look at this girl. She wants her cat, whipping her tail. Whipping her tail around me
your
and everything.
Your cat's tripping on you. You're not focused on her. She's like wondering why are you not paying attention.
Exactly.
To me?
That's both of my
Let
pets.
Me see what's
she
going
just came
on.
Up here for me to pet her, and my dog got jealous, and yeah. Then she hopped down to fight him a little bit. So, I'm really excited, and I know that there are so many people that have seen the interviews, and they know who Motown is, and they want to see the music video, and with RBX and everything that's coming out. So, with that being said, do you have anything else that we can look forward to and get excited about when it comes to your work, your creativity?
What's yeah, next? The Respect the West video, because listen, that was, I took an epic film approach with this project. So the first verse was shot, my idea was that was shot just for the desert, the bikes, and the grime grit. Then on the flip side, when we got to the RBX and then we got to his third verse, we wanted to do it West Coast style also. So Motown pulls up in this brand new Rolls Royce convertible. I mean, it's beautiful. It's white, black interior convertible. I mean, it looks like, you know, you died and went to heaven or something, you know? So we had this, and that type of prop is almost just as important as the artist. It's got to be respected. So we basically shot in Long Beach on the side of the pier where, like, you know, the Port of Long Beach. And so we had, like, a real industrial field with, you know, you got the ships coming in. We literally got a big tanker passing by with the container. So that kind of represented the industry, the wealth of California, the wealth and everything symbolically.
Absolutely.
They were suited and booted. We went from the desert to dress up. And
so it's going to be nice.
You basically get that Cali lifestyle where you can be, you know, we're one of the few places where you can be in the snow, in the desert, in the beach, and in wine country, you know, in a matter of hours.
So this sounds great.
So
yes.
My goal was to accentuate that in the video, to really, like, you know, bring that home, that idea. And so we pretty much take you, it's like a, this video is like a little epic movie where we take
it's
you.
It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. I like the vision. The vision sounds amazing. I cannot wait to see it. So as we're bringing this interview to a close, is there any advice that you have for someone who wants to get into a career field such as yours when it comes to videography, filming, music, any of the things, any advice that you would give on how they could get started?
Yeah, get started. And what I mean by that, you know, seriously, on the serious tip, one of the things that helped me the most was I had a love for the movies. I watched one of the things, it was Inside Man, the movie that Spike Lee did. That DVD had the director's cut. So I would say
to them, if they started this film, I'm a huge Spike Lee fan, by the way. So
yeah, I'd love of course. To hear it. You know, the director, get your old DVDs, because they don't got it online on streaming, right. But you got to get the old DVDs with those, study those director's cuts. That's my number one thing. Also, you're going to actually have to start digging. I mean, you're going to have to do editing. You're going to have to shoot. So basically, you know, it's like you're going to be a one-man band. You're going to be a one-man band. So you got to, you know, but the technology is there.
Now these kids have an overload of information and overload of technology. It just takes really knowing how to use it. Would you agree?
Right.
And use it to your advantage.
Start off small. Start off with like one of those $100 editing softwares and start editing. And then, because that's what happened to me when I got into the editing, I was shooting my off and getting camera angles. But then, you know, I didn't want to wait for someone else to cut my film. And then at the same time, they end up cutting they miss the, oh my God, this is the most important part. And you just cut it, you know? So I decided, hey, I got to do this myself. So I basically started with the basic beginners editing software. And after that opened my eyes up so I could go to the heavy duty stuff like the Adobe and Final Cut and all that stuff. Once I had the basics of running that, it takes man hours. That's one of the things I have. I have a lot of man hours behind the camera and in that studio. So trial and error. So I would say just get started, do something small and start. You don't have to have, a $10 million camera and a big budget to go do something. You know, there's people that are making quality stuff with little or nothing. So it really takes just you having the desire. How bad do you want it? And you just go out there and you start.
This is very true. And I like that. The first thing that you said was, oh my gosh, sorry, one second. The first thing that you said was to get started. And all the rest that followed was really, really great advice and information, by the way. So.
Oh, listen, let questions. Me share.
These are almost like,
can I share something real quick?
Yeah.
Can I share something? With that, let me tell you what's going to happen is this. You may get discouraged, because once you start biting off this apple, you start realizing this apple is huge. You know, I can't eat all this. So, and what I mean by that is, once I got editing, once I started shooting, I ended up finding out, oh, well, my computer's not strong enough. I got to get a bigger computer, I got to get more RAM. I got to get more processing power. I need more storage. And so then you're going to have so many obstacles and hurdles. It's almost like algebra and math. You know, you're going to have an X factor in there, a variable, and it could be anything. X can be anything, right? In algebra. So in this case, just remember there's going to be some obstacles to slow you down or whatever. You just got to keep getting over those hurdles. For example, when I started, we had to do FireWire. So we plug in the camera to the computer, and you got to literally play your video footage and record it on the computer. Now, you know, we can pop in the SD card and it's bam, it's done. So, you know, although basically you're going to just have to do trial and error, but yeah, it's going to be a lot of work. Yeah.
It'll be worth it. And so last couple of questions, they're fun questions. Okay. So this or that, are you ready?
Yes.
Would you prefer mint or fruit?
Fruit.
Fruit. Okay. Fruit's good. And then also, if you could pick two fruits, what would your two fruits be and why?
Well, first of all, I'm still baffled by the mint and the fruit. I don't know. They don't. They're not equal. You literally mean mint, like the leaf mint you put in a mojito, right?
Yes.
Well, I do love mojitos.
Well, mojitos are good.
Yeah. Well, I would say the fruit though, because the fruit, you know, the fruit feeds the soul. You know,
fruit feeds the soul, and it can feeds the soul. You can live off of fruit.
You know,
you can do things with mint, but you can live off of fruit. You can be stuck on an island,
yes,
grow fruit or find fruit and live.
Right.
So, right.
Well, the two fruit, I would say, I like plums, and I would say plums and grapes.
Good. I haven't had a plum in a really long time. Those are good fruits. Okay, so your next question. Out of films, would you choose horror or comedy?
Ooh, horror or comedy? Comedy, of course.
Comedy is good for the soul. And so why do you choose comedy?
Comedy, because comedy, okay, listen, this is why. Me personally, there's so much stuff in the world. You can turn on the news. You can turn on the news and you can see horror. But comedy, you know, can be uplifting. You can walk. You know, your mood will be elevated, especially if it's actually funny. Whereas a horror flick, yes, you know, a horror flick is a downer. Or, you know, like I said, there's so much evil in the world. I don't mess around with horror flicks really.
That's a good explanation for that. So much evil in the world that you don't, that is really good. This is actually a really good answer. So with that said, everybody, you heard it all. We are super excited. I really enjoyed talking to you, by the way, about your
Well, you gotta let me say one thing,
videography.
Though.
Yeah.
I gotta add something. Listen, I wanna tell you that it was a privilege, it was an honor and a privilege to work with Motown. He's at the top of my list of one of the best, the professionals to work with, because he has, he's a thespian. He has acting career and everything, as well as this music. And, you know, when I worked with him, one of the things I experienced the professionalism, and I appreciate that, because so many things don't always pan out. When you do a big production and you got all these different people you're depending on, waiting on, and he was able to just go through it. It didn't push him one way or the other. He was able to be, you know, he was able to accept everything and roll with it and change whatever changes came. He didn't fly off the handle. He didn't panic. You know, he trusted me with it. That's the biggest thing. He trusted me with his project. And that I appreciate. I perform better. You get the most out of me when you show me that, you know, whether you trust me, you give me your project to me. And that's what I want to say. It was a pleasure to work with him. His publicist is also that. She's an asset to him. She really, she's awesome. And the whole team that worked with us was awesome. They really dedicated their, I mean, you got to remember, we out in the desert in California, in the Phelan, that's the high desert. We're in 100 degree weather, high noon. It wasn't no 6 a.m, although I wanted it to be, but we were out in the elements. And so everybody sacrificed. He stood there, no matter how many takes I needed. Even when I knew he was beat and ready to like, you know, take a break, I'm like, no, Motown, need one more, come on. And he would do it. And so that's the professionalism that I'm talking about.
Awesome. And that's so great. And I really, really appreciate your time. I thank you for even just saying all that you just said about working with Motown the way that you have, and that just shows that you guys have a real creative connection. It's a team of people that really enjoy what they're doing, are excited about what they're doing, and have a lot of creativity and love to put into the project. And I'm really excited to see it, because when you have an environment like that, that's when all the good magic happens. And so with that being said, I really, really, really want to thank you so much for interviewing with us. It's been a pleasure. I am, you know, honestly, like, really, I love the fact that I even get to do this. And I thank you, Don, for inviting me on to do this. And I, like I said, thank you so much for your patience. Getting to know you, as far as the little bit of time that we've had, as far as like your level of expertise in all these creative areas, it's awesome being able to live a life.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because listen, to your viewers that were, that you asked that question about what it takes, like what advice would I give them? Listen, you know, I had to wear more than one hat because I had to get it done. And it all I could tell you is that I know everybody's job. So at this point I don't have to do all the hats now, and I have a team and everything like that, I really know what to expect. I know what's supposed to be. When he's not doing his job, I know he's not doing his job. It's a lot. I'm thankful that I had to do all that to get to where I am now.
That's awesome. And that's actually good wisdom. That's really good wisdom to give. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in to this exclusive interview with Mario T1. I want to thank you so much for your time and all your wisdom given on your videography, your filming, your mixing, your mastering, and all the many hats that you wear when it comes to the creative realm of things. And we are looking forward to the up and coming video that's going to be so awesome and epic to watch, with Motown OG Alkaline and the legendary RBX. Thank you so, so much. And tune in again, everybody.